your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 14. After he announced me coming tonight, I appreciate you, or this morning, I appreciate you coming back. So I didn't know if anybody would come back. You know, fun preaching to myself. Thanks to Pastor Shepherd for giving me this opportunity. He says he's going to be watching a live stream, so I need to look at him and tell him thank you. So, anyway, Matthew chapter 14. I told him I was a little nervous, and so I found a little story about a nervous preacher. A new preacher had just begun his sermon. He was very nervous, and about 10 minutes into the talk, his mind went blank. He remembers some advice they gave him in seminary school for when situations like this arose. They said, when your mind goes blank, just repeat your last point. Often, this will help remember to what you say next. So just repeat the last point. So he gave it a try. His point was, "Behold, I come quickly," he said, but his mind was still blank. He could not remember his next point. So he repeated that point again, "Behold, I come quickly." And this nervous preacher, he still had nothing. Nothing was coming to his mind, didn't know what to say next. He tried once more, and this time was so much behemoth that he tripped over the microphone wire. He fell off the stage. He fell right into the lap of the lady in the front row. I'll try not to do that today. And this young preacher was very embarrassed, as he said and said several times, "Behold, I come quickly." He tried to apologize to this lady. The woman replied, "That's all right, young man. It was my fault. I should have gotten out of the way. You told me 3 times you were coming." So if I like that preacher fall off the stage, trip, or keep repeating myself, it's because the nerves are running and my mind might go blank. And my wife would say, "Your mind goes blank anyway," so we'll get through it. But we're going to talk about the story of Peter walking on the water. This story is also found in Mark and John, but they do not mention the part about Peter walking on the water. Right before this story, though, of Jesus and Peter, was the story of the feeding of the 5,000. So the disciples saw a great miracle here. Or they just saw a great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And that's kind of the context, the setting of this story of Jesus and when Peter walks on the water. The disciples saw a great miracle with that feeding, and that leads, and we'll talk about the story of them both walking on the water. Let's start with a word of prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you many blessings. Thank you for Cross Point Baptist Church, and I pray to you this. May we sit here with open hearts, and may we receive what you have for us. And just help me as I preach. May I be guided by the Holy Spirit. May the words that you would have me to say come through. And just may you come down and meet with us in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus trained his disciples to get into it and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." So the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Jesus, he told his disciples, "I want you to go into a ship and to go to the other side. Go on before me." He sent the multitudes away, and then Jesus, he went up into a mountain to pray. He was there alone. But the ship, as the disciples now in this story, as they were going from one side to the other, great waves was upon this ship. The wind was becoming strong. It's describing like a storm taking place right now. And disciples are getting a little scared, and they were in the midst of the sea, and it's nighttime. They really can't see, and it was a frightening time, with the waves beating against the boat. And speaking of water, you know, everybody's in the water moods these days, right? We like to drink water and stuff. You go to a restaurant and you're with a group of 5 or 6 people. You know, the first person, the waitress comes up and she says, "What would you like to drink?" Usually hear ice water. Second person, it's water. Third person, "I'll take an ice water." Fourth person, you know, they get a little sip and, "I'll take some water with lemon." Yeah, they're doing pretty good. They go to the next person. "This person, I'll take a Diet Coke." You get that look from the water people, don't you? But it's diet, so it's not too bad. But then it goes to the last one. They say that Mountain Dew. I mean, that's the good stuff right there. And boy, those water people are looking at the Mountain Dew person. And, you know, they're starting, ooh, it's getting hot in here. And we don't know what to do. But anyway, but you know, when's the last time you heard of Mountain Dew killing somebody? You haven't, have you? But water has been very dangerous. What were the disciples scared of here? They were scared of the water against that ship. They, you know, water has sunk many of ships. Water has flooded many of islands, and tsunamis have taken over cities. And water has done a lot of danger. And but you know, you lemon people, the lemons would have taken care of everything, right? Yeah, back when the Titanic hit the iceberg, if somebody would just put a lemon on that iceberg, it would have been okay, I bet. Noah, he could have taken care of that flood. A little drops of lemon juice in that water would have done it. But anyway, water can be very forceful, can be very strong. And as dawn approaches the storm, the faintest light is appearing, and they see this person walking on the water. Jesus decides to come down from the mountain and to walk out to this boat in the midst of the sea. And Matthew 14, verse 26, continue on. And when the disciples saw him walk on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. The disciples, they couldn't quite tell who or what even was walking toward them. A common superstition back in the day was people who would drown would often haunt the waters. It was a superstition they had. I'm not saying the disciples had it. But they're just seeing this object or person. They're not for sure what's going on here walking on the water. I'm sure they weren't thinking it was Jesus. And who could really blame the disciples? Who's this out there? Because no one really ever saw anybody walk on the water. But then in Matthew 14, verse 27, it says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Knowing fears, Jesus calls out to them. He simply says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Jesus' response to their fears centers on, "It is I." This is the term where Jesus often referred to when he was used to claim deity. "I am God. Hey, I am Jesus. I'm God." Calm down. You're going to be okay. Jesus was saying to the disciples, "Hey, you can take courage now. You don't have to fear because I'm God. I'm Jesus. We got this." And in verse 28, he goes on, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water." Peter was simply saying, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you in the water." Well, that's quite the bold statement, bold request. I mean, if it's really you, God, I'm putting you to test. Let me walk out to you. Now, what do you think the other disciples were thinking at this point? Maybe they're probably thinking, "Peter, you're crazy. What are you thinking? Why are you asking to go walk on the water? What's going on here, Peter?" But Peter still made that request. And in verse 29, Jesus answered him. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In the midst of the strong winds and waves, Peter trusts Jesus to step out of the boat and walk to Jesus in the water. Incredible display of faith. Have you ever wondered about how Jesus and Peter walked on the water? I don't really know. I don't know if it was a smooth walk. I mean, they're walking in waves. Are they walking on top of the waves, skipping across the crest of each one? Is that the science for the top of the wave or something like that? How are they walking on the water? I don't know. Very intriguing, very interesting. But regardless, we know that Peter, he took that step out of the boat and he walked on water to Jesus. Peter had to decide, do I continue to struggle in this boat that we made, that man created? Or do I get out and I trust Jesus for relief? Or do I trust Jesus for help? He had that decision to make. He decided to step out. This isn't the sermon, but it's a great point. Peter decided it was better to be in a storm with Jesus than to continue doing things the same way without him. It's better to be in the storm with Jesus than to continue in the ways that we are going, whether we feel like they're good or comfortable. It was better to be in the storm with Jesus, Peter decided. Peter got to experience a miracle firsthand. And you know what? Most of the time, miracles, the greatest miracles, take place when we are willing to step out by faith and rely on God's power and not our own. He mentioned, Pastor Dan mentioned the Easter thing coming up. You know, the ones that can experience a miracle of going out, inviting someone to church, and maybe seeing someone come to church, who gets to experience that? The people that step out and do it. If you don't step out and do it, you don't even have that opportunity. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he, Peter, was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter simply became scared and began to sink. He cried for the Lord to save him. The Lord did. The Lord immediately reached out his hand, caught Peter, and pulled him up. You know, if we take our eyes off Jesus, kind of like Peter did, we start focusing on our circumstances. We start focusing on maybe the storm that we are going through, the trial we're going through. We will fall under the weight of our problems. But if we will call to Jesus in faith, no matter what situation we're in, he's going to reach out that hand. He's going to catch us. He's going to lift us above our impossible situation or unseemingly impossible to us. And he will lift us up and help us. Peter was still learning to trust Jesus completely. Now, Jesus still rebuked Peter, even though his faith was stronger than the ones in the boat. But Peter learned to trust in God. And in verse 32, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. As soon as Peter and Jesus got back into the boat, do you ever wonder how did they get back to the boat? I assume they walked. I mean, Peter had elapsed, didn't he? But what happened when Jesus pulled him up? It doesn't say. Jesus may have carried him back, but I'm going to assume, and maybe I shouldn't, that they just both walked back to the boat. I mean, what an experience. What a miracle Peter is experiencing here. Climbing back into the boat. Those disciples who may have made fun of him or questioned him or, what are you doing, Peter? Or, this is crazy. All of a sudden, they're like, wow. Man, I wish I walked with you. That was awesome. That was incredible. And then the wind ceased. This was the third miracle we saw in the storm. We saw Jesus walk on the water. We saw Peter walking on the water. And then the calming of the storm. So faith requires stepping out of the boat. You know, we like comfort, don't we? We all like comfort. We like safety. We like the security. And you know what? Those are not a bad thing, though. It's not bad to be safe. It's not bad to have comfort. It's not bad to have that security around you. But you know what? Sometimes we inflate our desire for security, our desire for safety, over what God would have us to do. Sometimes Jesus is going to ask us to take a little bit of a risk. Sometimes he wants us to step out of that boat, maybe to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. Maybe to get out of that safety zone that we like to be in. Sometimes you've got to step out of the boat. Sometimes, like the Apostle Peter, we're going to step out of the boat. We'll be overcome by fear. We may start sinking. We may be failing in what we stepped out in. But if we step out in faith, Jesus will be right there to catch us, to help us. You might stumble, but you won't drown. You might stumble, but you won't drown. My guess, the next time Peter, I don't know if he ever did or not, but the next time he stepped out of the boat, end quote, next time he had to exercise faith, he did so more confidently. His faith and his trust in Jesus Christ has grown. So I have two applications here. The first one is, I'm going to kind of use our personal story here on our family's journey to Cross Point. Now, it's not a story, and you're going to see the application I'm going to use here is not really going to be us, but it's going to be Crosspoint. I always said, for some reason, I always had in my mind, if I ever have an opportunity to speak, this is what I'm going to say in our journey here to Crosspoint, not because of what we did, but because of what Crosspoint did. When we made our journey to this church and school, it was not me stepping out of the boat in faith. It was, I thought it was going to be easy, just a smooth move, easy sailing. There was no stepping out of faith or anything like that. But as we got out into the waters, things got a little stormy, though. Things maybe I didn't expect that were going to take place. The trip where we used to live to here, it got to be really long. The trip was a long trip, and you had to get up early in the morning with the kids and get them home. And then on top of that, we didn't think that was going to last very long. We thought our house was going to sell. We thought our house would sell. We moved down here, and it's just going to be a smooth move. But it wasn't like that. The water around it started to get really rough. It started to get really wild. Those waves started hitting our boat. It started rocking us pretty good. We were getting rocked. I personally was looking at the, and it's this is not my family. This is all me. I was in charge of the family. And I was looking at the circumstances. Boy, things just aren't working out. Boy, this is tough. Our house isn't selling. This trip is long. And it just doesn't seem like things are working out. And I was getting rocked. In fact, I got so rocked where eventually, I had to quit the process. We're done. We can't do this anymore. I was kind of like Peter. I'm in the storm. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he started sinking. I'm not saying I had my eyes focused completely on Jesus, but I'll tell you what, I looked at my circumstances and I started to sink. I was done with it. I remember people like Darlene Rogers, and I think I even saw Stacy's. They, when we first came, they would talk to me how they made those trips too. And they would say things like, start out good. Sometimes my kids, they'd be upset or angry, and we had no answer for them. We just told them to get in the car and let's go. I know one of those two ladies mentioned that to me. And I remember thinking, that's nice. You guys, it's tough for you, but it's easy for us. But let me tell you, we got to that point, or even farther. It got tough. It was hard to explain to the kids what we're doing, and why are we taking these long trips? Why are we getting up and having to leave our house by 6:30 and not get home till whenever? And so it was a difficult time. It got stormy for us. And I got knocked out, like I said. But you know how we talked about how Jesus, when Peter was sinking, he reached out and pulled him up? I believe that we don't see Jesus physically anymore. He's with us, but not as a man, he was 100% man, 100% God. But we don't see him that way anymore necessarily. I believe God uses people to do the same thing. I believe as we were sinking, yes, Jesus was there helping us. But you know what? God also spoke to some people at Crosspoint and said, hey, there's a family that's struggling. There's a family. They kind of quit. I want you to reach out that hand. I want you to reach out that hand. First tonight, I want to say thank you to many of you, to all of you, for reaching out that hand. We were strangers here, but we still had several families. They let us stay in their home. They fed us. They're reaching out that hand. We had some people unknowingly, I don't even know, they helped us a little bit financially. You put money in the plate, you helped us because we stayed in that apartment up there for a while. The people, the deacons said, hey, reaching out our hand. We want to help you a little bit. We know you're struggling. Many people, maybe they didn't help us physically, but they would come up and say, hey, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're praying that God would help you through this situation. We know you're struggling. It was because many people at Crosspoint Baptist Church listened to God, who was telling them and saying, hey, there's a family that's struggling. There's a family that needs help. And I want you and your family to reach out to that family. And you listened. You said, Harvey's, here's our hand. You're sinking. You're struggling. We want to hold you up. So first, I just wanted to say thank you for reaching out your hand. That kind of goes with the sermon this morning also. But you know what? Maybe God laid on your heart tonight. Or maybe as Pastor Shepherd preached this morning. Maybe there's someone that is struggling that you know about. Maybe God's speaking to you and saying, hey, they're struggling. They're sinking. They're in a storm right now. They're in a trial. And they're having a tough time. They're not doing a very good job making it through, understandably, because they're going through a very difficult time. Hey, Cross Point family. Hey, individual, I want you to reach out that hand like Jesus did and help them. Walk through that storm with them. Walk through that trial with them. Help them during this difficult time. Is God speaking to you about reaching out the hand to someone else? So first off, I just wanted to say thank you. I know it's been 4 or 5 years. Some of you weren't even here when we made that trip. But I appreciate it. I thank you. Second of all, I also want to use the application that God wants to tell an incredible story through your life. Each and every one of us, God wants to tell an incredible story through you. He wants to do things in you and through you that you can't even imagine. After we made it through this whole situation, now we're settled in here. God's done good things. We're glad we made it through that trial. We're glad people helped us out through that storm. And when we got to the other side, it's been good. And you know what? God wants to do something with you. Collectively as a church, but individually as each and every person. God wants to do something with you. God has walk on water moments for you. You thought about that? Well, Peter, you walked on water. That's awesome. I would like to do something like that. It may not be walking on water, but God has a walk on water moment for you. But you got to step out. But you got to step out. You know, maybe God has called you to be a greeter. God's been working on your heart. I want you to be an usher. I want you to be a greeter out there. I want you to invite people or greet people as they walk into the church. And maybe you're like, man, I could never do something like that. I could never talk or invite somebody or welcome into our church to somebody I've never talked to before. I know I'm not really the type that talks to a stranger. But God's working on your heart. Maybe you decide to be that greeter and you walk, you get out of that boat, you struggle a little bit, you say the wrong things. God's there. I'll help you. Maybe God's called a couple to be work with young people, work with young people in a Sunday school, work with young people in a junior church. And boy, I don't know. I like the safety of just sitting in church and not have any of those responsibilities. I don't want to spend any time in the week. You know, it's kind of comfortable in the boat. But God's working on our heart. Hey, step out. I want you to take over this class. God's been working with you. I want you to be in the ministry. I want you to do something. So the husband and wife, maybe we step out a little bit. Things are going well. The lessons have been going good. Things are going great. And all of a sudden, that four-year-old boy, the husband's got his nice brand-new suit on. That four-year-old boy, he's going through a terrible cold. All that snot's coming down. Just fluids everywhere, we'll put it that way, sneezing. Boy, he sees the husband, and he's like, I want to get that hug in. All of a sudden, he's coming, he's going to give that husband a big hug. And the husband sees that four-year-old boy coming at him. His face is now turned into one of those St. Bernard dogs, you know, where the slobber is going everywhere. And boy, my brand new suit, I got this little boy coming up. He wants to give me a hug. All of a sudden, the wife reaches out the hand. I'm going to help you. Actually, she doesn't because she wants to see what takes place there. But that little trial. He said, we'll help you through this situation. God will help you. God calls you to witness to somebody. God calls you to go out canvassing. I can't do that. It's comfortable when we don't have to say anything. It's comfortable when I don't have to step out of my comfort zone and talk to somebody about Jesus. But God's called me to do it, so I'm going to try. we step out. Oh, it's not too bad. Not too bad. All of a sudden, we face somebody that may be mean. They might turn us down a little bit. I might stumble over my words. I don't know what the next thing to say. I keep saying, behold, I come quickly, and we keep repeating it. We don't know what to say. We're stumbling, and it's just, we're dropping in that, we're falling in that storm. Maybe God will reach out that hand. God will send a partner to help you out. But you know what? We can't have those moments if we never step out. God says, all right, I'm going to help you. I'll help you. Maybe God calls someone in here to be a preacher. Maybe God's called someone here to be a preacher's wife. Whether it be a teenager, whether it be an adult. God can still call adults too. But it's comfortable where I'm at. It's comfortable in my job. I want to stay in the boats. I want to stay there. You know, the boat, the disciples, they were saved people. They weren't unsaved. They weren't worldly people. They knew about Jesus. They even saw Jesus. But you know, when we obey the calling of God, we don't just see Jesus. We're not just saved. There's more to that. We get to walk with Jesus. This is where Jesus is at. He's helping us. He'll walk with us through that storm. Pastor has, he's talked many times about his burden for the mission field. Maybe someone in here working on you about being a missionary. God's called you to be a missionary. God's called you into some kind of mission work. And that's a big calling. And you know what? America, the boats of America, it's a nice, secure place, isn't it? This is where my friends are at. This is where my family's at. It's tough out there. I can be saved. Yes, I can. I see Jesus. I can go to church. But sometimes, God wants to walk on water moments for you. He wants you to step out of that boat. And it may go well for a while. But when we step out of the boat, there's always going to be moments like Peter had, and we're going to stumble. Nobody's perfect, but we're going to have those stumbling moments. And maybe you're called to that mission field and things are going well, but you're going to have your struggles. And you're going to start sinking. But Jesus Christ is going to be right there with that hand. Pull you up. I'll help you. I'm going to walk with you. Yeah, they're saved. They're good Christians. But you're walking with Jesus in the calling that He's called you to do. All the way from a ministry here in the church to being on the mission field to witnessing to somebody. Each and every person in here, God has something He wants you to do. And if I even said, if I pause, I'm going to pause for 5 seconds, I want God to speak to you, allow Him to speak to you. Most of us will probably have something where God would say, I need you to step out a little bit right here. What's God speaking to you about? You know, Peter stepped out. Did he fail? I'm not going to say fail. He got rebuked a little bit. Why did your faith go down a little bit, Peter? But you know what? He still walked on the water. It's to tell a good story in your life. But honestly, a lot of Christians, we settle for the boring stories. We settle for the safe stories. And they're really not my stories. We just live the Christian life. What's it called? The routine he keeps mentioning? Or, I don't know, Pastor Shepard, we just do the song. We just do the announcements, the preaching, and go on. That's just staying safe in the boat. But allowing God to speak to us, to convict us, and we decide to step out, that is God telling a good story in our life. Peter, I bet Peter, though, I bet he was talking about the time he walked on the water for the rest of his life. Can you imagine some of the stories he had around the table? Not necessarily in a prideful way, but, man, I got to walk on water. I got to walk on water with Jesus. It was the coolest thing in the world. It was awesome. Was it awesome when he was sinking in the water? No, he was struggling. But when he made it through, when Jesus helped him, what a wonderful story. Peter took a risk. He didn't play it safe. He got out of his comfort zone. And in fact, the ones that stayed in the boat probably wished they would have walked on water too. You know, whoever the other disciples in the boat, maybe their kids were like, "Dad, did you get out of the water with Peter?" "No, I stayed in the boat." They didn't have quite the exciting story, did they? "No, I didn't step out." Why not? We thought it was crazy at the time. But Peter stepped out. You know, it comes down to this. One day, we can hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How do you become a "well done, thou good and faithful servant"? If God's called us to do something, we do it, and we do it faithfully. We step out. Or one day, you're going to wish you got out of the safety of the boat and trusted God. Which is it going to be? To live it safely or to step out? "God, I'm trusting you. It's hard. It's difficult. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." God wants the same for you. He wants to say, "Well done and good and thou faithful servant." He wants to tell a good story in your life. That's His desire. He wants to tell a great story in your life. He wants to tell a good story in your life. He wants your life to be a great story. And the simple question is, will you let Him? Will you let Him? What's God speaking to you about? Two things. Do you know someone that's struggling? Do you know somebody that's going through a difficult time? Maybe God's laying it on your heart to be that person that says, "I'm going to reach out my hand. I'm going to be your help. I'm going to be the one that helps pick you up. No, I'm not God, but I'm a Christian fellow that can, we're going to get through this together, like you did with our family." Or, secondly, is there something God has spoken to you about? Maybe witnessing to a neighbor? Maybe God calling you to the ministry? Maybe it's a Sunday school class? Maybe it's going canvassing? Is there something God's speaking to you about? Kind of fighting it a little bit? Well, that fight is wanting to stay in the safety of that boat. But God says, "I got a story just for you. But you need to step out. But you need to step out." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the story of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. What a blessing it is. Thank you for Peter setting the example of stepping out of the boat. Yes, I know sometimes we can look at the part where he took his eyes off of Jesus and he sunk for a while. But he still did something no one else did. He walked on the water with Jesus Christ. And God, I just pray if there's someone here that you've spoken to in a special way, whether it is to be a hand reaching out to somebody else to help them during their trial, their storm, their difficult time, or whether it be that you are specifically calling them to a special task, to maybe witness to a friend, to do a service in the church, or maybe it's somebody that God's been working on about being a preacher, or a preacher's wife, a missionary. I don't know what it is, God, but we're trusting in you. Help us to allow you to tell that story with our life.